Fans of a certain age will remember a site that was a big part of going to see Celtic before 1995. Visible from miles around were the floodlights that marked the ground's location, acting as a beacon to guide supporters to the match. The Celts have a long history with lighting at their games. This includes some historic moments and firsts, and on numerous occasions helping other clubs with their own floodlights. There's even been arguments that helped stop a British Football League and one monster sighting. From football's earliest days, there were attempts to introduce lighting to allow games to be completed. On numerous occasions, matches had to be abandoned in the winter months owing to a lack of light, so solutions were sought to this. In 1878, 9 years before Celtic's formation, it was a big year for these efforts. This saw a floodlight game in Sheffield between the Reds and the Blues, and in Scotland, Ferd Lanark attempted a basic lighting system for a match versus Vale of Leven. However, football still had some way to go before it would have an effective method that could be used. Celtic would have a pioneering role in these efforts. On Christmas Day 1893, the boys welcomed Clyde to Celtic Park. It was truly a novelty, as the match was to be played under electric lights. This wasn't the traditional floodlights on pylons, which would later become a dominant sight at Celtic Park. Instead, high poles were erected and then wires of lights strung across the pitch. It was less than effective though, and there were different complaints about dark areas of the pitch and the ball hitting against the wires. In January 1894, Celtic again used these lights, this time in a Scottish Cup match with St Bernard's, which the boys won 8-1. However, the Edinburgh side complained about the lights making it difficult to play. As such, Celtic's lighting project was abandoned, and Parkhead would not again be lit up for almost 7 decades. But this didn't mean that the boys played only in daylight. In fact, Celtic's first ever floodlights game came in the 1930s, although it first involved a journey to a different continent. In 1931, Celtic went on their first tour outside of Europe, travelling to North America. 13 games were played on this excursion, including against interestingly named clubs such as Bricklayers, Ulster United and Montreal Carsteels. On the 25th of June 1931, Celtic went to the University of Detroit and faced the Michigan All-Stars, with the Hoops winning 5-0. This was the club's first floodlights experience. Around this same era, floodlights were also being used in Britain. As Celtic met Falkirk in a league game in February 1930, Mansfield hosted a cup game played under floodlights on this same day. There was even a short-lived attempt to do this in Scotland, one that had a monstrous outcome. In 1933, Inverness Caledonian installed a basic lighting system with 3 lamps on poles on both sides of the pitch. However, this was only used for one game, following a claim in July 1933 that some sort of creature had been spied in Loch Ness. As such, the lights were taken from the ground to provide illumination for the monster hunt, and yet another football lighting experiment came to an end. The key decade in the growth of floodlight use in British football came in the 1950s, the same era in which Celtic would, somewhat reluctantly, succumb to this new trend. October 1951 saw Scottish football's first proper floodlight game, as Stenhouse Muir welcomed Hibernian to their Opal View ground. Following this, numerous Celtic visits to England involved floodlight games as well, and it was seen at that point as a huge novelty and advertised as such. Celtic's first game in Britain played with proper floodlights was a friendly in Yorkshire in November 1952. The boys beat local team Doncaster Rovers 3-2, and clearly had a taste for playing under this new technology. In March 1953, Celtic became the first team to play Newcastle United at St James's Park under floodlights, with the visitors losing 2-0. This continued Celtic's historic connections with Newcastle. In September 1892, the boys had gone south for a game versus Newcastle East End. However, This came shortly after East End had taken over Newcastle West End, and is generally considered to be the merged Newcastle United's first game. Later in 1953, Celtic had two more floodlight experiences. First, in October, they lost 2-0 to Wolves in the second game to be played under lights at Molineux. In fact, Celtic were the first club side to do this because the first actual team had been South Africa. 2 weeks later, the Celts became the third side to play Manchester City in a floodlit main road, drawing 1-1 with the home team. In actual fact, Hearts were the first team to play under Main Road's floodlights, having done so earlier that month. These English lighting developments naturally spread to Scotland, with more and more teams using the technology, including Rangers from 1953 onwards. Celtic, however, like many other teams, refused to embrace the option of lighting, at first at least. There was different reasons for this opposition. One was a fear that the lighting could easily fail, plunging games into darkness and calling off fixtures. There was also a financial worry that Saturday afternoon matches would attract most fans, and so playing midweek would result in lower crowds. Celtic also argued that when it came to stadium improvements, lighting was not a priority. At a time when most grounds had uncovered sections, forcing fans to stand in battering rain, the boys' board claimed that they wanted to spend any available cash on fixing this issue. All of this also led to various disputes between clubs, including in relation to new footballing competitions which could have brought together English and Scottish sides. In the mid-1950s, a proposal was put forward to have a midweek floodlight league featuring top teams from north and south of the border. The idea was that this would be in addition to the usual domestic games and provide extra income. Ultimately, Celtic and other clubs argued against this, and the plan eventually died. In addition, floodlights didn't always solve all problems. In 1954, Celtic were due to play in a floodlights game versus Leeds United at Elland Road, but snow arrived to call off the game. And in later times, Celtic had games changed or postponed owing to high winds damaging floodlights and stopping the game from taking place. Despite this, the direction of travel was clearly moving towards the adoption of floodlights, and Celtic had little choice but to comply. By 1958, floodlights had been installed at Celtic Park purely for the purposes of allowing training sessions on the pitch. And then, in 1959, this was further extended. Celtic appointed an Edinburgh firm to install pylons and lights at Parkhead. On the 12th of October 1959, they invited Wolves to Scotland to be the first team to experience the new Celtic Park lights. Although the home team lost 2-0, an illuminated era had begun in Glasgow's East End. With the spread of this technology, and not just in Scotland, Celtic soon had more firsts when it came to playing under lights. The boys' first European experience was in 1960. Celtic went to France to play in the Anglo-Franco-Scottish Friendship Cup. Celtic lost 3-0 to Sudan in a floodlight game, a match that was also notable for being the first time that the boys wore numbers on the back of their shirts. This European run continued in 1962, when the Celts first entered official European competition. Playing in the 1962 Fair Cities Cup, this being the forerunner of the UEFA Cup and then Europa League, Celtic travelled to Valencia in September 1962. The boys lost 4-2 in their first European game, and this was also played under lights. Over the years, Celtic became favoured visitors in Scotland and elsewhere when teams were first introducing new lighting systems. This included sides such as Cowdenbeath in 1968 and Inverness Thistle in 1972, who welcomed the boys for a big switch-on. It even saw a joint Celtic and Rangers team travel north to Inverness in 1959 to mark Inverness Caledonians' new lighting structures. By the early 1960s, Hampden Park had also given in to the demand for lighting. Floodlights were installed by the same company that had built Celtic's, and the first lighted game at Hampden took place in October 1961, when Rangers lost 3-2 to Eintracht Frankfurt. This development meant that floodlights would become a feature of cup finals in Scotland. Celtic's first Hampden final after this was the May 1962 Glasgow Cup final, which was played in the afternoon and ended in a 1-1 draw, before the boys won the replay a week later at Celtic Park. Instead, it seems likely based on photos from that time, that Celtic's first Hampden Floodlights final was the April 1963 Glasgow Cup final, which the boys lost 2-1 to Fir Lanark. In fact, Floodlights have had a big impact on other Celtic Cup finals. They once came close to stopping one of the biggest games in Celtic's history. The boys had found fame when winning the 1967 European Cup, and by 1970 they had a chance to repeat this. Celtic travelled to Milan to take on the Dutch side Feyenoord in a game that the boys would lose 2-1. However, an industrial strike in Milan, including by electricians who worked the floodlights, threatened to cancel the match. Perhaps it might have been better for the boys if this strike had taken place, and instead the club might have eventually won the rearranged fixture. Another Celtic Cup final, with an equally negative outcome, that was influenced by strikes and floodlights, was the 1973 League Cup final. Celtic played Dundee in December of that year, and a Tommy Gemmell-led Dens side won a surprise 1-0 victory. This final was played at 1:30pm to ensure there was enough daylight, given restrictions on electricity use at this time. Twice in the early 1990s, Celtic went to Ireland to play the opening game under floodlights at different grounds, travelling to Dublin and Sligo. However, at Celtic Park, all of this was about to change. In the wake of the Hillsborough disaster, new stadia was being built across Britain, bringing to an end the sight of bright pylons illuminating matches and being visible from miles round. Fergus McCann's takeover of Celtic meant a move to Hampden, while Celtic Park underwent a massive renovation. As well as the terracing disappearing at Parkhead, so too did the ground's iconic floodlights. Celtic Park, of course, continues to have a lighting system, but this is now built into the fabric of the stadium rather than separate pylons. It has to be said, this has not always been without its problems. Home games in the early 2000s against Dundee and Livingston saw long delays when Celtic's lighting system failed to work. And this was reflected elsewhere too. One 2002 fixture at Almond Vale was postponed after the floodlights switched off before the match began. In recent years, the main point of interest when it comes to Celtic Park lighting has been the installation of the so-called disco lights. The club has invested millions of pounds in a state-of-the-art lighting system, which includes the ability to have special displays of different colours. These were first used before a match versus Leipzig in 2018, and they've become a key feature of the pre-match build-up for European nights. Each generation of Celtic fans has their own recollections of how Celtic Park looks. Older fans will recall seeing from a great distance the rising pylons that dominated and lit up the ground. In the modern era, fans will instead think of the disco light displays that are now watched in the winter months. But in both cases, what matters most is the football that's being watched, and the memories it creates for Hoops fans of all ages. If you want to learn more about Celtic history, follow Hail Hail History on Twitter, X and Blue Sky. You can also take part in free Celtic walking tours. Visit celticwalkingtours.wordpress.com for more information.